WRSC.
It's 8:40 and 52 degrees. The website framingpaterno.com. One of our favorite human beings, John Ziegler, is on the telephone with us. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you guys.
Well, good morning, John. It is with a heavy heart because now we know that Joe Paterno covered up child sex abuse for multiple decades. We know this based on an anonymous boy saying to an insurance company that that's what happened.
Yeah, that's a pretty good way to sum it up, Jeff. You know, I thought I had lost the ability to be enraged by the way the news media has handled this case. But last night, and I think you probably felt the same way, and I know a lot of your listeners did, and a lot of people who follow this story online were equally enraged by the news media just swallowing whole a story that is a bigger steaming pile of horse manure than anything that will come out of the horses at Churchill Downs before the Kentucky Derby tomorrow. This is unbelievable. And yet every single major media outlet picked it up and reported it, almost all of them did, as fact.
Yep.
Not as an allegation, no context. Fact, Joe Paterno knew of Jerry Sandusky's sex abuse in 1976. Now, we don't have much time, so let me get to some really critical points here. And to understand what a steaming pile of horse manure this whole thing is, Jeff, people need to understand how these settlements, these evil settlements, are being determined. And what I'm about to tell you is not based on conjecture. It is based on evidence that I have that is bombshell-like that I cannot reveal at this point. But you know me well enough to know I don't make promises I can't keep. And what I'm telling you is 100% true. Here's how the settlements get determined. If you are a second mile member, if you allege something happened at Penn State, if you have the correct lawyer, if you are within the statute of limitations, and you have some basic proof of contact, you know, you basically know where Jerry's house is, or you know how to spell his last name, you get a settlement. That is not an exaggeration. That is a fact. Now, if you don't have all those characteristics, you could still get a settlement. However, there could be some problems. We know this because, for instance, what happened with victim number 9. Victim number 9 did not allege anything happened at Penn State. His allegations occurred, which they're total bullcrap, well after Jerry left Penn State. So he had a problem. So what did he do? He created a lunch with Jerry Sandusky and Joe Paterno at Beaver Stadium in the mid-2000s, which we all know is total horse crap. He got a settlement. Anthony Spinelli is the guy who you probably have heard his name, trying to create a criminal case. He didn't get a settlement. Why? Because he's not a second mile guy. His claim, which is total horse crap, comes from a football camp. So Penn State didn't pay that out. So now he has to create his own publicity in a way of trying to create a case that doesn't exist. If you have special circumstances, you could get past the gates that I just described, which are obviously very low, like, for instance, Matt Sandusky. Matt Sandusky was outside the statute of limitations, but he's a special circumstance because he had the right lawyer, Andrew Shubin, and because he's a celebrity. So, therefore, he got paid. Now, in that context, let's go to 1976. The 1976 person who apparently got, according to the Philadelphia Inquirer, although I sincerely doubt that they know what the hell they're talking about, but they claim that this guy actually got a settlement, this person who makes this claim about telling Joe Paterno in 1976. Well, the 1976 person had at least two big problems. The second mile did not exist in 1976, and the statute of limitations had not just expired, it had long since expired. But I believe what happened here is the 1976 accuser did have the right lawyer. Andrew Shubin, the person from State College who had at least 9 accusers in this case, including Matt Sandusky, several of whom I know to have been outside the statute of limitations, just like Matt Sandusky. However, Shubin knows how to play this game exceedingly well. Shubin was quoted at the time of the, when the scandal broke, that he had somebody from the 1970s who had come forward. And based upon the way Shubin works, I think it's probably pretty logical that the 1976 accuser came to him. So with having this problem of not being a second mile person, because the second mile didn't exist, and having the statute of limitations having already expired, it is my strong belief that the 1976 accuser got the bright idea, probably from Andrew Shubin, almost certainly so, to play the Joe Paterno card. Because if you don't play the Joe Paterno card, you have no case. If you play the Joe Paterno card, if you play any sort of football card, Penn State will cave, and that's apparently exactly what they did. Jeff, this is the price that we have all paid now for the Paterno-friendly BOT members, Board of Trustees members, approving these settlements, the Paterno family itself being incredibly politically correct and accepting everything that these bogus allegations come with, that every accuser is automatically believed, no matter how crazy what they say is, because now the news media has no reason not to accept one line from a judge who doesn't know crap about this case, which is effectively the equivalent of one line in the Warren report claiming that some guy has come forward to say that they were the shooter on the grassy knoll and that they shot JFK. I mean, that's effectively how truthful what we found out last night was from a judge who is so clueless about the truth and so clueless about this case. Not only does he believe completely in the cover-up theory, he actually says that Penn State had no excuse for not coming down harder on Jerry Sandusky in 2001 because the Catholic Church abuse scandal was well known in 2001. Well, has he seen the movie Spotlight? It only won an Academy Award. That story didn't come out till 2002. And he's actually writing that this is the basis for why Penn State should be on the hook for the money that they paid out to these settlements instead of the insurance company. This is unbelievable from top to bottom. It's total bull crap. It did not happen. And in a rational world, Jeff, what happened with this allegation and how crazy it is ought to show people this entire case is a fraud. And instead, in the news media's world, it has only further enhanced the fairy tale that they bought into back in November of 2011 and which they are desperate to maintain still today in 2016.
But what I would love to have one of them explain, John, is why a head coach who, and we all know Joe Paterno only cared about football and his football empire, why the hell would he keep an assistant coach who he has been told is abusing kids or at least has molested a kid? Why does he risk that entire empire in 1976 and watch that coach when, again, Joe Paterno's goal is to protect his football empire? He watches this assistant coach start a foundation, knowing that he has abused, or at least molested a kid, start a foundation that is going to work with troubled kids, and allow him on that step. I mean, it just, there is no part of this that makes any sense, but that is, you cannot possibly believe that Paterno is trying to protect his football empire by intentionally keeping somebody that he knows to be an abuser and watching him now expose himself and thus Penn State football to even a greater likelihood of being caught. There is no way anybody can explain that. It does not make any sense.
Well said, Jeff, but it's actually worse than that. Because not only, two things happen in 1977. As you already stated or implied, the second mile gets formed. So Joe Paterno is standing by as this guy he now knows is a child sex abuser is starting a charity for at-risk kids. That's, of course, absurd. But the other thing that happens in 1977 is also incredibly important. Not only does Jerry Sandusky not get fired by Joe Paterno, he gets promoted to defensive coordinator in 1977. It's incredibly important to point out, in 1976, Jerry Sandusky is a nobody. He's won no national championships. He's not the defensive coordinator. I mean, at least you could make some plausible argument by 1998 that somehow Jerry Sandusky was untouchable. Now, that's a bogus theory and all, and we've gone through that a million times. But at least that makes some semblance of theoretical sense. In 1976, Nobody knows who Jerry Sandusky is. And in 77, he gets promoted and the second mile gets created. And yet, people like Charles Thompson, and Charles Thompson is the person I blame most for what happened last night. He's a reporter from Patriot News. He has to know this is bull crap, but he also has to know that, what he's going to put out there is going to go viral because it's a headline that seems plausible because it's from a court proceeding and somehow therefore takes on magical powers, and all that's going to happen is every member of the news media, every mainstream news media member is going to see the headline, say, oh, it's from a local state college-related media outlet, they wouldn't be telling a lie about Joe Paterno because they don't understand how this whole story came about, and it furthers the narrative of their fairy tale that they love. So it goes viral. I've never seen a story go more viral more quickly without any substantiation than that what happened last night. I mean, every single media outlet instantaneously, without remotely vetting this thing, has reported it as if it is fact, and it is total horse crap on every level, every level. And this is the price we pay for having these settlements go through fast with no scrutiny, no transparency. And I warned everybody about this from day one, that this was going to come back to haunt us. And last night it did, because we were on the verge of some tremendous progress here, Jeff. Yeah. There was a report that Joe Paterno was going to get honored, which I had heard from background was absolutely true, by the university upon his 50th anniversary coming up this September. We've got a major hearing coming up for Jerry Sandusky, which could have incredible implications with regard to the Mike McQuarrie episode, the truth finally coming out in the public hearing about Alan Myers, victim number two, and then this comes down, crashing down on all of us, and it's based on nothing.
Which, by the way, how about the skepticism about whether or not Alan Myers is really victim two? But we know that this boy told Joe Paterno in 1976 that is...
Ding, ding,
how
ding.
These people can wrap their minds around this stuff the way they do is just absolutely incredible.
You've hit on one of the greatest double standards of all time. So we report as fact an unnamed person that makes no sense from 1976 implicating a dead man in a child molestation cover-up, yet I have released a mountain of evidence that Alan Myers is victim number two, and the media is like, well, we're just not sure, and we can't say his name, and let's move on as fast as we possibly can here because this doesn't fit our narrative. I mean, this is the most perfect storm of insanity that has ever happened, and I just hope people don't buy into this bullcrap. And in fact, this kind of bullcrap ought to show everybody, Jeff, how the whole story is fraudulent. It's all fraudulent. And all these fragments that came out last night are from bogus accusers desperate for money who know they have to play the Penn State football Joe Paterno card. That's what they're doing. And there's no substantiation for it. Penn State didn't vet any of this. All they did was say, here's your money, go away. If you have the right lawyer and you fit all the qualifications or even some of the qualifications I outlined earlier. And I have proof of this. And it will all come out. But it's just such a shame what's happened in this, especially when we're so close to making progress.
Well, and also lost in this story is the fiscal irresponsibility of the Board of Trustees at this case. The fact that the insurance company, the judge is saying, the insurance company is not liable, when Penn State all along has been telling the alumni, don't worry, this is all covered by insurance, and you knew darn well that it wasn't going to be, so the whole thing is just
the great irony, Jeff. Just real quick, the great irony is that Penn State now has a financial incentive to exonerate the Penn State Three and Joe Paterno. Let's see if they actually do it. I guess is they probably won't because it's not their money. These are liberals spending other people's money, which is what they do best.
Yes, indeed. John, as always, we appreciate the time and your perspective this morning.
Thanks, Jeff.
John Ziegler, FramingPaterno.com, very good friend of the program, and boy, a very good friend of the truth. We'll be back to wrap things up for the week after this.